As you have probably figured out, today is Transfiguration Sunday, leading us to consider and to fully understand what happened to Jesus Christ when he was transfigured way high up on the mountain, somewhere north of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus had spent his entire ministry up to this point trying to explain to the disciples that he was going to have to suffer. He was going to be betrayed. He was going to have to die eventually. He told them that when he died, that 3 days later that he would rise again. And we're approaching that time of year when we're talking about the Lent and about Easter and about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But the disciples just could not quite get a handle on what was happening here. And in our study of the Word, we see how that Peter was somewhat outspoken. If he thought it, he had to say it. And when Jesus was trying to teach the disciples that I'm going to die, but I will live again, all that Peter heard was the die part. And he was first to say, I don't want to hear this. I don't want to. You just can't die. You're the King of Kings. You're the Lord of Lords. It's not right. Our people have not been delivered yet. It's not right that you should die. But Jesus was not trying to get them to look at his physical death. He was trying to get them, they knew he was a human being. He was human in every respect, just like you are. But they couldn't grasp what Jesus was saying, because Jesus was trying to get them to look further than right now. He was trying to get them to look into eternity and see that he was the light that would shine throughout eternity. This part of the life of Jesus is recorded in the book of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And in my sermon today, I want to refer to all three of these, but I want to read now from the book of Mark, chapter 9, and see what happens when Jesus leads these three disciples up into the mountain. They're fixing to witness something that nobody has ever witnessed before. It's just totally miraculous what's fixing to take place. Mark chapter 9, beginning with verse 2. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could ever bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings or three altars, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. And suddenly when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. And then when they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The story of the Transfiguration is probably one of the greatest object lessons of all times. In the 9th chapter of Luke, it says that the disciples were very sleepy. They were just weighted down with sleep. They had been going all day long. And here it was nighttime. It was time to go to bed. But here they were up on the side of a mountain with Jesus while he was praying. But because they stayed awake, they witnessed the miracle of the transfiguration of Christ. You know, it kind of makes you want to stay awake and stay alert even in church. You might miss something. But these disciples were staying awake, and they didn't miss a thing. They looked, and they witnessed the miracle of the transformation, the transfiguration, and saw Moses, and they saw Elijah as they were standing there with Jesus. And now it's apparent that Peter, James, and John, they recognize Moses and Elijah, but they're recognizing somebody that lived hundreds of years before Jesus. I thought about this and I made myself a note up here on the top of my sermon after I was over here at the church this morning. They saw Moses and Elijah. Now you think about it. When we get to heaven, we'll even get to see John Wesley, the big shot preacher that's headed up Methodism. We'll get to see him. And we'll get to ask him what he was thinking. What was the burden that he had for all of us all of these years later? We'll get to see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. We'll get to see Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Timothy, Paul. But most of all, people will get to see our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
This event up on the side of the mountain was just a sample. It was just a foretaste of what things would be like when we're all transfigured and find ourselves in the presence of Almighty God. We won't be hurting. We won't have our aches and pains. We won't see poverty. We won't see anything but the glory, the Shekinah glory of Jesus Christ. Suddenly the disciples was wide awake. What little sleepiness they were feeling, it was gone. And I could just imagine Peter saying, "Hey, hey, look, the very appearance of Jesus is changing. Look at him. What's happening?" They knew it was Jesus. He had been traveling with them all day long. His robe was dusty and dirty. But suddenly it was dazzling white. You know, we're going to have a new robe one day. We're going to have a robe of pure white, and we'll be able to bow down before the throne of God and worship our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. We will be transfigurated one day. We won't have to worry about not being able to read. I have to have my sermon typed up in large print so I can see it. I won't have to worry about that one of these days. All I'll be concerned about is bowing down and worshiping my Savior. They knew that it was Jesus. He had been traveling with them. And Luke says that his clothing became as bright as a flash of lightning. Matthew says that Jesus' face shone like the sun. Now, buddy, that was something spectacular to look at. You know, it's hard to imagine that the thoughts that were really going through the disciples' mind. It's hard to imagine person being changed like that right before your very eyes. But do you realize that when we accept Jesus Christ into our heart and our life, we are transfigurated. We are transformed. We are made a new creation. The Apostle Paul talked in 1 Corinthians about us being a new creation when we accept Christ. What was the purpose of the transfiguration? I mean, everything God does, he does it for a purpose. We don't always see the purpose. But here we see the 12 disciples have been following Jesus for 3 years. They had listened to all of his sermons. He had watched Jesus heal the people. So what was left? Why did he have to be transfigurated? Because all of this time, they saw Jesus as a man. They looked at Jesus just like we would look at Don or Donnie or Daniel or Mike or Phil. He was a man. But the disciples needed to see Jesus as deity. They needed to see him as God. I preached last Sunday about how that whenever we praise God and we worship God, that praise has to come from within us, out. Same thing happened to Jesus when he was transfigurated before the people. The glory of God didn't shine upon him. It shined from within him, out. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, that light of love, that divine light, has to shine from within us. It has to shine out to the world around us. You know, I wondered when I first read this, why didn't Jesus take the whole gang up to the mountain? He just took Peter, James, and John. I think that possibly there's three reasons that I have listed here. I could probably think of 30 if I thought about it. But the three reasons that I have listed is that they might have been the three people who were most ready to understand and accept the great truth of the deity of God. Mark says that they headed the inner circle of the disciples because of their leadership abilities. And Luke tells us that they were present at certain healings and that Jesus had performed, and maybe the other disciples were not. So they had possibly, shall we say, had a closer walk with the Lord. The transfiguration of Jesus revealed his divine nature to the disciples. They realize, hey, this is God. He's not just a man. This is the man Jesus. This is God. This is divine. He was truly part of the Godhead. And yet, he remained with them on earth as a man. Bet you can't be in two places at one time. But he was. He was heavenly and he was earthly. Amen. The disciples had to witness this transformation or transfiguration in order to be able to keep the faith later on. Jesus knew that if he did not reveal his divine nature to his followers, that right around the corner, Jesus was going to face the valley of the shadow of death. And these disciples would be devastated because the man Jesus would be gone. But Jesus, the Lord, would reign forever. If we don't believe that Jesus is all powerful, if we don't believe that Jesus has all authority, our prayers and our witness to the people around us will be just as weak as water. Because the disciples had to see with their own eyes the divine side of Jesus. They had to see that he was no mere man. And the change took place gradually. Like I said just a minute ago, it took place from the inside out. Matthew Henry comments that the light shone not upon him, but from within him. He was irradiated with celestial glory. It was God, Jesus himself, that was being glorified, not just his clothes. Jesus said in John the 8th chapter, the 12th verse, I am the light of the world. The disciples witnessed all of this. Now the disciples go and tell everybody else with confidence, hey, I saw that with my very own eyes. They saw the divine deity that came in the form of a human to forgive us of our sins. The only way that we as Christians can live a Christian life among unbelievers in the world that we live in today is that we have been changed from the inside out. They won't pay a bit of attention to us if we call ourselves a Christian and there's been no change. I have seen people that knelt at an old-fashioned altar and turned their life around, gave their life to Christ. And when they stood up to go back to their pew, they did not look like the same person. Their countenance had changed because of the glory and the anointing of the Holy Spirit had been real in their life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if any person be in Christ, he is a new creation. We are being changed or transfigured into the same image, the Bible says, from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of God. We can tell people when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, I have experienced the transforming power that the Lord brings. You could tell them all day long about the transforming power of the Lord, but unless you have experienced, your testimony will be weak. When I was writing this sermon, I thought about Daniel's daddy. He was a good man. He was one of the smartest men that I have ever met in my life. Anything anybody else could do a lot of, he could do some of it. And if you didn't watch him, he'd do some of all of it. But most of the time, he felt like if he could do it, you ought to be able to do it too. And if he told you something, you best pay attention to what he was saying. Because he'd say, I know what I'm talking about. And you know he's got a son just like him. How many times, Dana, have we heard your daddy say, I know what I'm talking about. Well, Mr. Alford knew what he was talking about. Reminds me about the story of a cowboy. Cowboy was riding across the prairie one day and he came across another cowboy that was laying on the ground and he had his ear down to a wagon wheel track. And the cowboy says, what you doing down there on the ground? And the man on the ground gasps and he says, wagon, two horses, one white, one black. Man driving wagon. Oh, smoking pipe. Woman in wagon has blue dress. Oh, where's bonnet? The cowboy looked at him and said, you mean you can tell all of that just by having your ear down there to that wagon wheel track? The man on the ground says, no, it ran over me 30 minutes ago. He had a first-hand experience. He knew what he was talking about. God's not going to run over us today to get his point across, but he has given us the word, the divine word, to lead us and to guide us and to show us the right way. You notice I've not told you a single time that this is going to be a bed of roses. Life is not easy. Our lives are filled with ups and downs, with peaks and valleys. The disciples were up on a mountaintop, and they witnessed the glory of God. But they had to come down off of that mountain. And when they come down off of that mountain into the valley, it was like going into the valley of the shadow of death with Jesus. Because they come off of that mountain, they went down into the valley. And they saw the Messiah arrested. They saw him beaten. They saw the crown of thorns placed upon his head. And terror filled their lives when they were down in the valley. The disciples had had a mountaintop experience. God allowed them to have this mountaintop experience to prepare them spiritually for what lay ahead. You know, today we as Christians, we would be in a terrible pickle if we did not have the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives to prepare us and to lead us and to comfort us. We would be scared to death. But we don't have to be afraid today. We know that our life is not lived on top of mountains. There are valleys in all of our lives. We all have troubles. We have things happen to us that just shake the very roots of our faith. And we wonder, what have I got myself into? When you're in the valley, doubt raises its ugly head to try to defeat us. I want to ask you this morning, where are you right now? Are you up on top of that mountain at the peak? And everything's all right with you and God? I hope so. Or do you find yourself struggling in a valley? Struggling with doubt, struggling with unanswered questions, struggling with life itself. Jesus knows about it today. When he was on that mountaintop, shining like the sun, he knew that right around the corner was his death. Right around the corner, his followers would be fear and doubt. We're gathered here today as children of God, and we need to pray harder than we have ever prayed in our entire life, that we may see firsthand and experience the glory of God in our life. I want you to remember that it's easy. Life is so easy when you're up on top of that mountain and you've got peace of mind and everything's working great. But then all of a sudden things change. When you're down in the valley. My message today to you is that the God that is God on the mountain, that you will allow him to be your God when you're in the valley.